This is Radio Superior 1939, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1939. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear radio as it may have sounded in 1939. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lakes, station KUWS in Superior, Wisconsin. It's Monday, September 11th, 1939. This is Jack McKenna speaking. The 6 o'clock news is next with Lou Martin with all the latest news from the war in Poland. Reverend Eric Johnson will be in for today's good word about door-to-door peddlers, and we'll have all the best big band music from the 1930s. Lots of fun ahead, folks. But first, the information from the best newsman around, Lou Martin.
That's awful nice of you. You don't owe me any money, do you?
The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Superior Water, Light, and Power Company, offering unlimited hot water from their new gas water heaters. Buy one with just $3.45 down. Lou?
Good evening, Jack and listeners. Warsaw continues to withstand the Nazi siege. The French are driving patrols into the Saar. And our top story is that Canada has declared war on Germany. Canada's first formal war declaration in its history was made today by British Prime Minister W.L. Mackenzie King and approved by the Canadian House of Lords. As a dominion of Great Britain, the declaration of war had to be approved by King George, which was done this afternoon. Three other dominions have already declared war on Germany: New Zealand, Australia, and the Union of South Africa. Prime Minister Mackenzie King says that Canada's first contribution to the war effort will be safeguarding Allied shipping in the North Atlantic, training airmen to send to England, and sending food and armaments to the Allies. Mr. King says the question of sending a major expeditionary force to Europe has not been decided. Canada suffered horrendous losses during the last World War. 619,000 Canadians enlisted for service from 1914 to 1918, with an expeditionary force of 450,000 men sent to Europe. Of those, almost 56,000 were killed and 150,000 wounded. Nearly one out of every two Canadian soldiers were either killed or wounded. Meanwhile, the greatest battle of the German-Polish War is underway. We begin our shortwave radio hookup from correspondents in Europe, starting with Max Jordan in Berlin.
This is the Third Reich, Berlin calling, correspondent Max Jordan reporting. Announcing important advances on all fronts, the German High Command today says some Polish divisions were trapped and beginning to lay down their arms. After bitter battles, German troops have reached the River Narew, 35 miles northeast of Warsaw. They also report crossing the San River, capturing Jarosław in southeastern Poland. The biggest battle along the Vistula River is reaching its decision point. German airplanes continue to bombard strategic points east of Warsaw and the cities of Lublin and Lviv. Even so, Polish forces seem for the first time to have their first real line of defense and resistance. This is the battle the Germans have been hoping for, to meet and annihilate Polish forces. The line is from the River Bug to Warsaw, 250 miles of battlefront. The Germans admit the battle is fierce. Finally, today's communique says Adolf Hitler, supreme commander of military forces, surveyed the situation by aeroplane. Hitler flew over battlefields in war-torn Warsaw. On the Western Front, the German command admitted that French forces have crossed over to the German frontier, clashing with German forces along the Siegfried Line before withdrawing. In Berlin, this is Max Jordan. Come in, Poland. Come in, Elmer W. Peterson.
Elmer Peterson here on the front near Natlin, Poland. Germany's lightning assault has delivered a stunning blow to the Polish army, but many observers here believe there has been no knockout punch. Military reports have been meager. There hasn't even been an estimate on Polish casualties, but it's believed that Poland has saved the bulk of its mechanized equipment. Yet, Poland's Air Force appears to be out of action, and an estimated 100,000 Polish troops along the Pomerania Front were last seen trapped in a Nazi pinzer. What is expected to be the pivotal battle for the life of Poland is now underway. 1 million Polish soldiers have massed along the Vistula and Bug rivers, marching at night, hiding by day from the German air attack. I'm in this tiny Polish village near the Russian border with fleeing foreign diplomats, including U.S. Ambassador Anthony Biddle and his wife. They're making a nightmarish 400-mile trek from Warsaw to the safety of the Romanian frontier. One French diplomat's wife had to use a needle and thread to sew the gash of one injured staff person. The length of this exodus will be determined by the outcome of this confrontation of Polish and German forces along the Vistula. Reporting from the village of Sniakien in far eastern Poland, this is Elmer Peterson. Calling Warsaw. Come in, Warsaw. Can you hear me, Warsaw? Come in, Virgil Pinkley.
I can read you. Correspondent Virgil Pinkley reporting from embattled Warsaw. Poland's capital is a mass of fires, smoldering rubble, injured and dead people, and horses. But civilians continue to fight fires and dig air raid ditches. Warsaw's radio station continues to broadcast, although more sporadically between air raids. Yesterday's air raid left many dead and wounded, but 14 of the German bombers were shot down, 5 crashing into the city. Polish infantry continues to make a strong stand east of Warsaw, destroying 2 German tanks. Even so, such battles force Polish forces to retire slowly and closer to Warsaw. Soldiers and citizens here are setting up rooftop machine gun positions. It appears this city will not surrender without giving the Germans what for. Remarkably, Polish businesses and shops remain open as people seem to be getting accustomed to the relentless bombing. Morale remains high. Warsaw Burgomaster Smigli Ritz is urging people to get ready to fight the enemy when they do arrive. It appears inevitable that they will. So far, Germany has taken 1/3 of Poland, including the strategic city of Krakow. It is not known how long Warsaw can hold out. Many news organizations have pulled their correspondents to the safety of Budapest. Essential services such as electricity and water are no longer reliable under the constant bombardment. We will persevere to hold out as long as we can to tell you the true story of the Polish people from their capital. In Warsaw, this is Virgil Pinkley.
One note before we continue with the war news. That report from Elmer W. Peterson in Poland is one of many that he's filed in the past few years from war fronts in China, Japan, and the Spanish Civil War for the Associated Press. Elmer Peterson, he's a native of Duluth and among the last to leave Warsaw. It's possible that the shortwave broadcast from Virgil Pinkley will be the last report heard from Warsaw. Paris is reporting a scuffle between French and German troops along the Maginot Line. French troops advanced along the Saar Basin and were met with resistance. Both sides withdrew. From London, the British Admiralty admits to 12 merchant ships sunk since the war began 11 days ago. The British War Cabinet now believes this war will last 3 years through 1942. From Berlin Radio today, an announcement that Adolf Hitler would not accept flowers, but instead he wants people to give flowers to German soldiers. Meanwhile, the British public is scoffing at peace feelers from a speech made by German Reichsmarschall Hermann Göring. Göring is suggesting that since Poland's defeat is inevitable, there's no use in France and England fighting. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt returned to Washington from Hyde Park, New York today to take personal command of the administration's peace policy. Mr. Roosevelt says that he will convene a special session of Congress before the end of the year to rewrite the neutrality law. With Treasury Secretary Henry Morgenthau at his side, the president says he wants the mandatory embargo of arms to belligerents to be lifted. Instead, he'd like to see a cash-and-carry sale of ammunition and arms. Cash up front, and the warring nations have to transport the weapons from American shores. Superior Water, Light, and Power Company news time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has this announcement from our sponsor.
Thank you, Lou. You know, everybody knows unlimited hot water makes house cleaning easy. It's yours in abundance automatically with gas. You need hot water at every turn and can have it instantly to help you sail through housework. No waiting, no muss, no fuss, no dirt. It's on tap day and night, ready and eager to do your bidding. See your plumber or Superior Water, Light, and Power Company today.
In news from home, the Mellon Flooring Factory in Ashland County has been razed. The machinery and the ironworks have been sold to an Ashland junk dealer, and a crew has started dismantling the Foster Latimer Flooring Factory, another victim of the Great Depression. Ashland's Board of Education will hold its first meeting of the new school year at the Ashland City Hall tonight. Board President John Kendrigan will preside. Tomorrow night, Ashland Mayor Gus Johnson will preside over a city council meeting on relief matters for the unemployed. Federal Judge Patrick Stone fined 50-year-old Peter Thomas $1 for possessing a half pint of liquor on May the 13th. The Lac-des-Flambeaux Indian is in violation of federal laws by having the liquor. Judge Stone suspended a one-year House of Correction sentence. More than 2,500 freshmen are expected to register at the University of Wisconsin in Madison on Wednesday, starting a week of orientation activities. With the help of 200 faculty members and 300 upperclassmen, the Frosh will get the whole nine yards of what college life will be like. They'll have physical exams, placement tests, study lectures, and social gatherings.
Yes, Lou, I understand lots of freshmen approve giving physical exams to the co-eds.
If you don't mind, Jack, I'm almost done. It's nice, though, that you're listening. Next week, President Clarence Dykstra will extend the official welcome followed by a luncheon and tea at the Memorial Union. And finally, Jack, the last survivor of the Wilson-Colson Grand Army of the Republic post in La Crosse has died. Past GAR State Commander John Wilson Hart died Sunday after a long illness. Mr. Hart enlisted in 1863, when he was only 13 years old, as a drummer boy in the Civil War for the 23rd Iowa Voluntary Infantry. His drumming was still a feature at the Grand Army of the Republican Conventions, even in his old age. Mr. Hart was 89 years old.
It'd be nice if one of these days we won't have any veterans of wars left.
Meaning, of course, that we won't have any wars, so we won't have any veterans.
That's what I meant. What did I say?
Now, something like that. I think people know what you meant. It's a nice thought, Jack.
But it's not looking good with all that's happening in Europe. Newsman Lou Martin, ladies and gentlemen, he'll keep an eye on the situation and bring us updates. Our forecast, folks, for this Monday, September the 11th, 1939, calls for more pleasant weather. There is a chance for showers tonight and tomorrow, but more mild summer-like weather. A low tonight of 50 with a high tomorrow of 70. Can't beat the summers and falls at the head of the lakes. Let's get on with the fun musical numbers of our hit parade. Here's Harry James with the sweet singing of Helen Ward and All of Me on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
How can I go on, dear, without you?
like to call that swingling of Harry James and all of me with Helen Ward on station KUWS. Now, news for the deafened of Superior and vicinity. Special free Autophone test and preview of the new Western Electric Orthotechnic Autophones. No obligation of any kind. Just come in and see if we can help you. Here? Autophone Company of Duluth, Minnesota. Melrose 4367. I repeat, 4367.
You know, it doesn't help if you speak louder. People control the volume with their own radio knobs.
But they won't have to if I speak up, you see. On with the music, though, and I'll turn it up just for you good listeners. I'll turn it up for you good listeners. Here's Jimmy Dorsey and his orchestra, and I got rhythm on the Martin and McKenna Show. Fine, if not loud, sounds of Jimmy Dorsey, his 1937 hit, I Got Rhythm, on station KUWS. Where's the good Reverend Lou?
He was just behind me a minute ago. That's strange.
Well, it's your turn to answer the door.
Come in, Reverend.
Don't mind if I do.
I'd like to introduce the good Reverend Eric Johnson of Radisson. He motored all the way here from Sawyer County.
Well, I caught you off guard by that knocking, didn't I, my friend?
Yeah, it would have been really a surprise had you used the doorbell.
I didn't see a doorbell.
We don't have a doorbell. You came here because you want to say something about a campaign Superior Police Chief Art Buchanan has underway, warning housewives about letting in door-to-door men.
That's why I knocked.
Get it?
Yes, Reverend Johnson. Very good.
I think it's important to use more than the spoken word to get my point across.
Ah, then you're my kind of preacher, sir. Short sermons, too, then?
Well, I aim to please.
Chief Buchanan put out a warning to not let strangers selling goods into your home. Right, Reverend?
I know the good chief is just trying to do what is best for the homemaker, but that's simply not fair to the men and the women trying to make ends meet by their hard, honest labor of selling goods from the door to door. And for goodness sakes, with these hard times, it's hard enough to make a living. And to have a police chief tell people not to buy from peddlers, why, well, mercy me.
The chief warned people of criminals casing homes for burglary or peddlers selling low-grade goods.
Now, I agree. You shouldn't just let anyone in. But every salesman has some kind of credential. Just ask for that. And for the love of Mike, you can get low-grade goods in some local shops, too. I can tell you stories about shopping for choir robes last year. Why, there was this red robe.
So people should give peddlers a chance.
Well, some of these people are just doing what they can to stay off relief. Is that wrong, I ask you? And the chief says they make big profits by going door to door. Well, poof! Well, I can tell you I saw a bathtub suspended from the ceiling at Montgomery Ward recently selling for $4.50. By Yimini, the good wife just bought that same tub for $2.50 at the same store. Well, maybe they wanted an extra $2 for hanging it from the ceiling, by Jove.
By Jove?
Thank you, Reverend Eric Johnson of Radisson.
I'm just saying, give the poor peddler a break. He might have a wrinkled jacket and unpressed pants, but his product might be good, and he might have a family to feed. Look at the time. Well, bless me, I've got the run. Thank you, and God bless one and all.
See you, Rev. Good luck with those sermons. I've got one of those fuller brushes from a door-to-door salesman. And my vacuum cleaner is from a peddler, too.
Last time I was over to your place, I got the impression that you were in dire need of a vacuum cleaner.
That was the best part. The sales guy vacuumed my living room before I would buy it.
It's been a while since you bought it, then.
Who has time to vacuum when you're answering the door all the time? On with the music, friends. Here's Freddie Martin and his orchestra with Bewitched, featuring new young singer Merv Griffin. On the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
Bothered and bewildered,
am I. For the day when I'll cling to her, bothered and bewildered, am I?
For your enjoyment, good listeners, that's the singing of Merv Griffin with Freddie Martin and his orchestra, and Bewitched on station KUWS. And now it's time for a new feature on the Martin and McKenna Show, introducing Ruth Millett with advice for the homemaker. Good evening, Mrs. Millett. Now, don't be nervous.
My, aren't we condescending? My message to homemakers everywhere is too important to be fretful over something as trivial as nervousness on the radio.
Jeez, think I'll go vacuum something.
Dear homemakers, treat yourself now to a quiet moment with Ruthie. I have advice and news important to today's busy woman. Sure, we're sick and scared. Sick about what's happening to men, women, and children in Europe. Scared that our own men might be dragged into another war. But, dear friend, we must snap out of it. For days we've been talking about only one thing, the war. We can start talking about things other than war. We can manage to look gay and cheerful whether we feel that way or not. We can plan to do things with our families or invite friends over for an evening that is not spent wondering, what if?
Thank you, Mrs. Millett.
Not done yet, thank you.
Ooh.
Suppose, and this is the most horrible thing a woman can suppose, that your own husband or son were called to war someday? Wouldn't you wish then that your last month the family was together had been as happy as possible? This has been a quiet moment with Ruthie. I'm done, Jack.
Just wanted to be sure. Thank you, Mrs. Millett. Very nicely done.
Condescending.
Back to the music now. Without offending anybody, I hope. Here's Gus Arnheim and the Three Ambassadors with You're the Surest Cure for the Blues on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
Honey, you're the surest cure for the blues. No trouble ever troubles me. company because on me you're the surest you're for the blues. I don't care about the others, all the others for me. I forget them all the moment you're before me. But what's it done for Dee Dee? As long as you smile like this and kiss the way you always did, I know that you will always be the surest you're for the blues.
We've just enjoyed, I hope, the fine sounds of Gus Arnheim and You're the Surest Cure for the Blues on station KUWS. So, Lou, why is it women always give me the third degree?
It's a knack of yours, old friend.
I'm beginning to wonder if it's in the job description when they hire these people.
I have a few news flashes before we sign off. From Berlin, Germans claim two Polish divisions are trapped west and south of Warsaw. They predict a speedy fall after the encirclement of Reich armies. From London, the British Admiralty control the sea and dig in for a long war. Admiralty speeds preparation to convoy all Allied merchant shipping. Bucharest. Romania doubles defense forces. They fear being drawn into war if Hungary and Bulgaria attempt to regain territory lost by them to Romania after the 1914 to 1918 war. Romanians watch Soviet action apprehensively. In a flash from Moscow, Russian newspapers say defeat of Poland assured. They explain their partial mobilization of reserves as a move to defend Soviet-Polish frontier against Polish forces should they flee across the border. Jack?
It's like a runaway fire in Europe, Lou. I guess my problems with old Miss Ruthie aren't so bad. I mean, Harriet eventually came to like me.
Harriet always liked you. You just say some things that might go against the grain of some women and men and children, dogs, cats, and seagulls.
Okay. But at least it gives me my boyish charm. That's it for tonight, folks. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, and the peddlers don't revolt. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna wishing you all a very good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1939, a weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheim, Don Hansen, and Gene Andreese. All events reported on Radio Superior 1939 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.